It's been 5 years here for me at Mountain Park. I'm probably going to cry. So get ready. It's happening. Yeah, the church now looks very different than it did when I arrived. And the church has really gone through a journey in that last couple of years. And so have I. I think we all have. I think when I joined this church, I'm going to share just a little bit with you. I had just taken a very long break from church in general. And the church I had worked at before, it ended kind of ugly and not very nice. And I left really hurt, and I stayed hurt for a long time. There just had been some dishonesty and dishonor in that departure. And when I left, I was pretty sure I would just not go back to church ever again. I was just so done. I think during that time, it's good for me to remember that, like, God never abandoned me. And I think that relationship stayed really strong, but I was just so, like, disillusioned with church as a whole. I remember right after I was done, we were going on a tour across Canada with Res Rosine, playing in all these churches, and I had to, like, go back into the church that I just swore I'd never go back to. And I just felt, like, physically allergic in there. I just felt like, oh, like, I definitely had some post-traumatic church disorder at that time. It sent me really spiraling, I think, into a season of deconstruction and the eventual sort of reconstruction of my faith. And I always think that's a really good thing. There's nothing wrong with taking apart all the bits and pieces of what we believe. And, you know, God is not afraid to be questioned and doubted. If something's true, it can take the questioning, and, you know, the pure gold can go in the fire and it'll come out and it's fine. But it took me a long time to come back around. And to realize that God's heart can be really found in the small local church, and that I wanted to look for that again, which is when I connected with Mike, who was here at the time. I think I eventually just came to the conclusion that if I wanted church to be like the place that I wanted to go to, then I would have to be there to make a difference, right? To make it a place that I would want to go to. If I wanted a church that didn't make me cringe, I would have to eventually get involved again and, you know, be part of a good church. So I was really glad I found you. And I can really say that my time at Mountain Park has been such a healing place for me, just considering where I had come from. And that's really thanks to all of you, I think, for being so open and for being so flexible, you know, to receiving whatever this was going to look like on a Sunday morning. Like I said, we've changed a lot. But I think you all have been just, so open to join in worship and to follow along wherever the Spirit was going to lead. And so I want to thank you all for that and for just embracing me so warmly. And I think this time has also been really redeeming for me. Just being able to work with Norm has been really healing for me. Just him setting, I think, a really good example of leadership, where I felt like I had been hurt in the past, specifically by some very toxic male leadership. So I think in Norm you have a leader that's really brave enough to stand still and wait for the Spirit to move, rather than, like, trying to assert yourself, you know? So that's been a really, really good experience for me. And so, yeah, thank you, Norm. There you are. So I think for me, especially during COVID, I think I felt really proud to be part of this community, because I think we did that really well as a church, and I was really glad that we chose community and connection over performance and a really slick show that we could stream around. So I think we got through that time probably better than a lot of other churches, and I felt really proud. So now it's time for me to take a little step back. I have had a full-time job this entire time that I worked here. I think I can work really well at max capacity, but I maybe not forever. So so this has been really lovely, and I'm sure this is not the last you'll see of me. I'm sure our paths will cross again. But I want to sing a song for you. I want to do that on the piano. Okay, I'm back. So I can't remember if I've sung this one before or not, but this is really a song. Oh, hang on. I need my words too. We can do this. Okay. This is really a song I think that's accompanied me for my life, and that's about following God's leading, especially through the valleys, especially when we can't hear him, which I know everyone in this room has had those times, when it can feel especially challenging to keep walking, to keep going forward. So it's called If You Want Me To.
Julia, want to come and join me down here? I have the privilege of kind of speaking on behalf of this body and just saying thank you. Julia, you have been an incredible blessing. Yeah, please. You have been an incredible blessing to us as a congregation, to me personally. We just so greatly appreciated your service, your heart to bless the church. I have greatly appreciated your intentionality in your approach to worship, in thinking through the why and the message that's being delivered beyond the music. I appreciate that you have such amazing musicality and capability in so many different ways, but that it's been your heart, and that people would see Jesus rather than just be wowed by a presentation. That's just been such a blessing. You are a calm and stabilizing influence, and you have seen us, you've been with us through change and transition, right? Through pastoral leadership change, and having you be a consistent factor through all of that was also an incredible gift and a blessing and a benefit to us. We know that we are linked because of our relationship with God. We are linked because we are in the family of God. We are linked, though, because we've come to know you and love you on a personal level, too. And that doesn't stop just because you aren't here on a regular basis. So know that we send you forth with great joy, with great love, with probably the appropriate amount of sorrow that you won't be with us on a regular basis. But know, of course, that you are welcome anytime, and we are just excited to see wherever God leads you next. So Travis is going to come up and... First of all, yeah, there you go.
These are a small token on behalf of the elders and the congregation for you, but yeah. Echoing just what James said, I've been through a lot of transition here at this church, and I've seen a lot of people in your position come and go, and it has truly been a blessing to serve alongside you, Julia, and to just witness the grace that you have with us in as we fumble along, as you are. God has blessed you so much in your talents and your gifts, and I thank you for bringing those out in us and for allowing us to serve with you. And yeah, you'll be greatly missed. You have made my life incredibly easy over these last 5 years. and at this point, we'd like to invite anybody that would like to come join us, pray for Julia, to lay hands on her and bless her as she goes. And so come on up if you'd like. Absolutely. You are. So. I mean, if you all want to join us, that's fine too. We can all just, extend a hand. Ah, this is great. Heavenly Father, this is your church. And you are here this morning, God, and we thank you for that. And God, we thank you for this community that we call Mountain Park, and for this servant that you have blessed us with for this last 5 years, God. We thank you for Julia, for the love that she brings each and every Sunday morning. As James said, the calm that she brings to, and consistency she brings to this group, God. We thank you for the gifts and talents that you have given her. God, we thank you for the servant heart that you've given her, and pray that you would bless her in the endeavors that you have for her beyond this community at Mountain Park, God. We thank you for just the chance to serve with her and to just to be ushered into your throne room, God, through music. And God, we thank you for her husband, Brett, as well, as he's also blessed us in many ways in the background. And God, we pray that you'd just be with the two of them as they are just an amazing couple that love to serve you no matter where they are. And God, we pray that you would just guide and direct them wherever they go. May you, your love and your light shine through them. Now may the Lord bless and protect you, Julia. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
You may be wondering, perhaps even curious, just what this will look like after our time together last week. And all week I kept having this image in my mind of all of us gathering in a gravel parking lot at the foot of a hiking trail. So we're in the parking lot together, and before we actually start, you know, hiking together, we kind of take stock, make sure everybody's there, and we just chat a little bit before we leave. And I think that's a little bit of the image I want to begin with this morning, that we'll start with a bit of an orientation session and then perhaps take our first few steps on this journey together. Now, if you weren't with us this last week, what I'm saying might sound just a little bit odd to you. So let me just summarize for you where we started last week. Last week, I outlined two characteristics of what I was calling a resilient church, and they came out of 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the first half of that verse says this: "The things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses." So what that means is the things that you, Timothy, have heard from me, the Apostle Paul, who's writing this to Timothy, as we've spent a few years together, as we've gone on missionary journeys together, as we have been preaching the gospel and planting churches in many places, as you have heard these things from me in lots of places in the presence of many witnesses. Now, a lot of the things that Paul had been teaching in those places, he also wrote in letters to them. And so we have a lot of Paul's teaching in the New Testament. So for us, very simply, the context of this, the things that Timothy heard, are the things that we read. So this is the scriptures for us. So again, a really obvious point, a resilient church teaches the scriptures. That would seem pretty obvious. It's the second half of the verse that's really going to shape our time together. He said, "to entrust to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also." So Timothy, as he reviews these things, is to teach them in such a way that those who hear will be able to teach others. And this really is the crux of the matter, that a resilient church has a viral effect with regard to the teaching. So every faithful carrier of the scripture virus is also someone that passes on the scripture virus, is also able to teach, in the words of Paul. Now, that does not mean that everybody has to stand up in front of a group and teach. It doesn't mean that at all. Because as we've learned through the pandemic, the power of a virus is specifically that it spreads with personal contact, one person at a time. That's what makes it so resilient. That's what makes it so hard to stop. And that's our goal, to take what we have already learned and to make it contagious. Most of us are already carriers of the scriptures. We have been exposed to teaching for years, if not for decades. It is infecting you. It's changing you on the inside in a good way. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. I love this part. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit. I can't even imagine what that means. To joints and marrow, it gets right down in the inner parts of us that are really hard to discern, but it discerns the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So the scripture is already doing its work in you. Our goal is to activate the viral effect of those same scriptures. And that comes with a good dose of intentionality. Now, as I've been thinking about this, it seems to me that there are at least two factors that are really important in contributing to what I want to call this viral effect of scripture. And the first one is the complexity of the scripture. This should make sense to you. The more complex the scripture that you're teaching, the more difficult it is to teach it in such a way that that person can pass it on. That makes sense. Now, some of Paul's teaching is really complex. He himself calls some of it a mystery. But I don't think Paul expects everyone to be able to teach that stuff, because he didn't teach that everywhere he went. There were few settings that he taught that depth of scripture. But the things that he taught in every church, in the presence of many witnesses, these were the foundational elements of our relationship with Christ. These were the things of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Those two themes were a part of every book that he wrote in the New Testament. So that when we talk about this viral aspect to our teaching, we're talking about the types of teachings that you could reasonably expect one faithful follower of Christ to be able to teach to another. And they're also the types of teachings that you would expect a new believer would be able to grasp, because that's who Paul and Timothy were teaching. New believers as they were planting new churches. So the complexity of what we're talking about is very low. Foundational teachings of what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to be part of the body of Christ. The second factor that I think is really important is the receptivity of the person that you're trying to teach. Again, this is really obvious, but if someone is resistant to the teaching of Scripture, you are not going to be very effective, no matter how simple the content is. Jesus calls this throwing pearls before swine. He basically says, don't waste your effort with people that don't want to hear it. It's just not worth it. And again, what I think what Paul is asking for here is that faithful men and women are able to teach foundational truths of Scripture to a person who's actually motivated to learn, someone who's receptive to the teaching. And again, that makes sense because for Paul and Timothy, that was their primary audience, new believers being discipled in what it means to be followers of Christ. So, new believers in this church that Timothy and Paul are talking about, new believers are coming to faith in Christ. Who's going to disciple these new believers? Is it the pastor's job? Is it Timothy's job? Or are there faithful believers who are able to teach the things that they've already learned and are already practicing in their lives? And so, very simply put, my goal at the end of this is that the faithful men and women of Mountain Park, you would be able to disciple new believers, younger believers, your children, your grandchildren, in the foundations of what it means to have a relationship with Christ. Because I think that this is what Paul expected from the faithful men and women in the church, that we would be able to do this, to teach others. Now, I believe that most of us already have a wealth of teaching stored away inside of us. Our task will be to organize what we already know in such a way that we're able to draw on it and to be able to organize it to teach others, so that if an opportunity came for you to disciple a new believer in the church, you would be able to say, I know right where to start. That's our goal, that you know right where to start. So that's the hike that's before us. We are not trying to scale the 7 tallest peaks of Paul's complex theology. That's not our goal. What we're going to do is we're going to walk in the pleasant meadows that surround a base camp. We're going to spend our time building a base camp. And so this morning, I want us to start at the place that we would start with a new believer. What would a base camp look like? And so here's the question that I would like you to think about this morning. Of all the things that you could teach a new follower of Christ, and there's many, of all the things that you could teach them, where would you start? Where would you begin? Take 30 seconds, take a minute, but I want you to actually come up with something in your mind. Where would you begin? Let me ask you to see if you can come up with 3 things, okay? And what I'd like you to do actually is, if you've got pen and paper, actually write them down. If you want to take your phone out and just take a notes page and just jot those down, but if you would actually write those things down, so this could be, if you're a new believer, if you're going to disciple someone, maybe there are some lessons that you would go, what would be the names of the lessons? So you don't have to talk about content yet, just what are the topics that would be important to you? Take a minute, and if, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to share those 3 things with the person sitting beside you and see if you have the same things and just compare notes a little bit. But take a minute and come up with 3 things that you think it would be important. I can see the brain's working. That's a good thing. I think just engaging in this exercise is already accomplishing what we're after. So thanks for participating in this. 3 things. Watching a lot of you still typing on your phone, so I'll give you another 30 seconds or so. You may just want to put a keyword down, something that will tell you what kind of stimulate it in your mind so that you can share it. All right. I would love for you to just turn to a person beside you and share what are the 3 things that you came up with. And if you have some in common, that's great. If you have 6 things between you, that's fine too. But now we're combining lists, okay? Because we want to see how much overlap we have. So this shouldn't take you too long. Turn to someone beside you. Pair up, get into 3s, that's okay. But let's share what are the 3 things that you came up with. Okay, don't get in bigger groups than 2 or 3. Because we're going to actually do that again. So if you can put those into one list. All right. So now what I want you to do is to take your pair and get together with another pair. Now we've got four people. But here's the challenge. You could have 12 things now. I want you to pare it down to five. Okay? So as you get together in groups of four now, I want you to pare it down to five things that would be important for a new believer. So you're actually going to have to do a little bit of editing here and maybe consolidating of themes. If you're comfortable getting together in groups with other people, that's great. If not, I totally understand. Everything making sense. Some good discussion going on out there, some good questions about what types of things are you asking for, and the answer is whatever you want to write down is a good answer. But here's what I want you to do is try to narrow that down to five, if you can. I know it's not easy. And I'm going to ask you to double up one last time, okay? So now you're in groups of eight. It's possible that you have like 24 different ideas coming to your group now. But I want you to pare it down to five. So pair your group together with one more group if you're able to do that. And again, I would love for you to pare this down to five. I'm going to give you just one more minute, and I'm going to, again, if you can get it down to five, I know it's a hard exercise, but that's part of the, that's part of it. All right, friends, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, and I'm going to ask you with your summary group, Brian, can you put the slide up with the text, please? If you have someone in your group that has a cell phone, could you text your top five answers to this? This is our church text and church account. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look over all the answers this week, and I'm going to come back next week, and we're going to use that as a starting place, okay? So while you're doing that, someone in your group, if you could have one person that's digitally savvy, anybody, any group that doesn't have a cell phone ready to go, because I'm sure we could send one of our young people from over there over. Okay, so we're all texting top five answers to that phone number, and those will go to the office. So while that's happening, let's just do a little bit of feedback here. What did you observe about this? What was hard about it? What was maybe unclear about it? Yeah, Melissa. Right, but there's food coming, so yeah, we definitely need more time for this. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so there's a lot of things that intersected, and it was hard to decide how to deconstruct them or put them back together or how to organize them. That's a great observation. Anything else? Yeah, I know. Okay, here's a great point. Okay, so Ina's group, some of them missed the fact that this is discipling a new believer. This is not a non-believer. Non-believers tend to be or can be resistant to the gospel. What we're trying to do is we're starting at the lowest complexity, lowest resistance, which is a new believer that is actually hungry to hear, okay? So that's a great observation. We're actually talking about people that want to learn, that have an appetite for Scripture. Any other observations or? Okay, has everybody had a chance to text their group their thing in? I'm going to look around. Can someone give me an almost? Okay. If you need to give me a written piece of paper, that's okay too. I remember how paper works. All right, let me just make a couple of closing comments, and then we'll wrap up here and move into celebration. Boy, they're still... they are determined to get this right. This is awesome. All right, while they're doing that, let me, I want to remind you, I want to give you some context here why this is important right now. You'll recall that last spring, between Easter and Pentecost, we spent 5 weeks in fasting and prayer, and the theme of our fasting and prayer came right out of the theme of Pentecost, where Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will empower you to be witnesses. And what we were praying for is that God would actually empower us, that as a church, we would be empowered to be witnesses. And then at the end of that season of prayer and fasting, we spent some time reflecting. We actually had a conversation right here in the morning talking about what is it that the Lord is saying to us. And we shared some of the things that the Lord's saying to us personally, because there was certainly personal growth. But I also shared that morning two words that I, together with the elders, felt were significant for us as a church, that we felt they were compelling and something the Lord was saying to us coming out of that fasting. And the first word was expectation, that the empowering of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses, that we should live in expectation that God was going to answer that prayer. And I remember just sharing one particular story that just was so powerful for me, where God gave me an experience with someone who was just so encouraging, saying, do not let go of this. God will move in this way. God does still move in this way. So that had the sense that God heard our prayers and that he will empower us. That led to the second word, which was preparation. If God increases our witness, if we see an influx of new believers in the next year, who was going to disciple them? And I remember sitting in my office thinking about our capacity to disciple new believers. Who will do this work? And I felt very strongly, just as I was praying and preparing, that the church would. But that means we actually have to practice to increase our capacity, or as Paul says, to be able to take the things that we've learned and to think about them in such a way that we're able to teach others. And so this exercise we're beginning right now was born directly out of that season of prayer and fasting. It's about increasing our capacity to disciple new believers with the expectation that God will bring us new believers in this church, that God is at work in our city, and that we will see people coming to Christ, and that we will be ready for that. And so that's my hope, and that's why we're doing this. So let's just wrap up this morning. Julie, I won't ask you to come, or do you want to? Okay. But I'm going to pray, and then Julie's going to lead us in one last song. Father, our heart is still for the city. Our heart is still to see people come to know Jesus Christ. Someone spoke to me this week of a nursery that when you're expecting, you do get ready. And Father, if we are going to expect your work, we want to be ready. And so I pray, Father, for that ability to think through what that preparation looks like, that we would be people that are ready, that we are able, as Paul says, to teach others the things that have become so important in our own lives. And so we lift up this first, these first small steps that we've taken, and we pray that you would grow something beautiful out of this, grow our confidence, grow our ability to think in ways that we're actually thinking about others and how we can pass these things on. Give us that mind, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.